The opinions expressed are those of the show hosts and may not necessarily be of any company in which the show hosts may represent. Welcome to the Security Box, Podcast 170. On this edition of the program, we are bringing back a segment called Things to Ponder. And we're going to have one or two very short segments about something that might have caught my attention. And we then point you on how to search for the item. Now, this may or may not be in our show notes, so make sure you read the show notes, as there may be a possibility that we'll link to it, depending on whether it's a blog post, something I heard, or whatnot. As we take the Thanksgiving break off, we're releasing this podcast to talk about several different password managers, and the list is not extensive and may include others that either are new or we don't know where to go look for information about it, and or we forgot about it at the time of podcast taping. The ones that we're covering, we are linking to in our show notes. You are welcome to contact me by email or iMessage at either tech@menvi.org, that's tech@menvi.org, or Jared Reimer at 986themix.com, that's JaredReimer at 986themix.com. We will return to our live format next week, and I hope that you will enjoy your Thanksgiving holiday break. From all of us at the Jared Reimer Network to you, may you have a safe and happy holiday season. Thanks for listening, and stay safe. Welcome to the Security Box, program number 170. What is a password manager? Well, a password manager can do anything that the programmer of the manager wants you to have. For example, LastPass wants you to be able to save any type of note you'd like. A Wi-Fi password? Maybe a TB scan? You upload it, you can show your doctor the scan. If you're going to a different one and it would take time to get all your records, LastPass allows me to save my keys to the various software such as GoldWave, Station Playlist, and any other piece of software I've bought through the years. I saved directions on how to get to a particular college its identification number, which is good for the 9 campuses in the valley if I ever wanted to go back to college. I've stored a bunch up there. But its main purpose is to fill in your passwords. And let's not forget that it can also fill in your payment details, such as your credit or debit card number on any given website, such as the donations page on jaredreimer.net if you donate via credit card. Now, why are we having this discussion? Somebody on a phone line happened to ask about one such password manager and sent me a message that they posted on one of the bulletin boards. But somebody had the audacity to come out and mention that the password manager in question was a site that collects information for hackers. Now, that isn't necessarily a password manager's intent. I could see why they said this, but I don't believe they are informed. And no, I'm not even going to mention who it was, because I'm not the type of person to call anyone person out, because I'm sure that a lot of people have thought about this. I will have links in the show notes to the more common password managers, although I can't link to the password manager that comes with iOS. That's Keychain. And Keychain is very comparable to what you would need, although it's mainly a password manager. It doesn't offer any other features. But we'll talk about each of them in turn, at least the ones that I'm familiar with. And those that I'm not familiar with, you can definitely search out. And if I can get a link to them, I'm going to link to all of the major password managers, including, but not limited to, 1Password, LastPass, and KeePass. Those are the big three out there. And of course, there may be others that you might use, which may or may not offer the same features. That completes this introduction. Now, let's get into the meat of the podcast by talking about the password manager, which was asked about within the past month, 1Password. Now, what is going on with 1Password? Well, it's been around for a number of years. And it has actually been the subject of why this podcast is being done. As I stated in the introduction, which goes into detail on why this podcast is being created, somebody asked about it. And they actually thought that they could hook up Lady A, and that's what we'll call the device. And I will mention G for the other device. That way, no particular devices get set off during the listening of the program. So, the thing of this is that password managers will not work on the A's and G's. They can help you get into your A and G account via an application or a web, but that's where the fun of using your A and G stops. Unless that changes, and I'm made aware of it, I will correct that in a future podcast here on TSB. So, 1Password has a website called 1Password.com. It is www.1Password.com. So, when you go there, like every other company, it talks about what it has to offer. And since I knew of them, but I didn't know what they offered, I took the opportunity to learn a little bit more about them. I'm not sure if they have a free package. I don't believe I saw on the page that they have a free package. And now they accept what has been talked about lately called passkeys. So, they have the same types of things that LastPass has, where you can take action on things that need to be taken action on, like weak passwords. That's what the check passwords item is in your vault. It'll check them, see if there's any duplicates, any weak ones, and give you advice to be better. They also allow you to store sensitive information. Or maybe not so sensitive, like I discussed in my intro. So, you could, in fact, put your bank account information in the manager. You could put your debit card number in there. You could put your credit card number in there. You might be able to put your Wi-Fi password in there. You could put licenses of software in there. It might even have the capability of storing documents like TB tests. So if you go to a new doctor, they can say, do you have a TB test? Yeah, doc, let me just pull it up on my phone. And I'm sure that sharing the data would be easy enough. Now, since I don't use 1Password, I don't know how it works. Now, pricing, if you pay for it, is $2.99 when paid for annually. I cannot determine if they actually have monthly pricing or if they are yearly pricing. So under personal, they allow you to have password management for you and your family anytime. So access by Windows, Mac, iOS and Android. For business customers, which I may have some on the internet side of things, you can protect your people. So you could, in theory, have a business account, and each time someone has signed up for your business and you hire them, you set up an account for them. You give them the access to the stuff they need to do their job, and the manager takes care of the rest. You do not have to write down any passwords anymore. If there's a compromise of the company, then the company just changes that password. It goes across all of the platform. Those who need it have it. Those that don't, don't. And the only mistake that a company could make is that they forget to remove said person who might have gotten fired, let go, left on their own terms, whatever, from that manager. But that goes with any of the major managers that we'll be talking about. Now, enterprise, you could do the same thing, although it also will allow larger businesses to take advantage of the functionality as discussed above. And of course, if you're a developer, you can use this to synchronize your stuff, keep secrets out of the hands of people who don't need them, and that way, if code gets out, your secrets are still there. And let's take an example of that. Let's say that you don't remember what a piece of code does. Instead of marking it up where somebody knows exactly how it works, you could put like the first line or two of code into the password manager in a note, And then you could write up whatever, you know, that's supposed to mean if you forgot what that's for. Now, if this password manager was a website for hackers, my big question would be, why would the person who stated that it's a site for hackers to get personal information, why would the website then say, trusted over 100,000 businesses? Some of the logos include IBM, Slack, PagerDuty, GitLab, and Under Armour. There are times where you need to share passwords. So this piece of software allows you to share those passwords safely and securely. So you could have family or team access depending on your account. And so then you can keep your IT stuff down, because one of the things that they won't be responding to are password issues, because your manager will take care of that for you. So you could mitigate data breaches, because if you get somebody that calls you on the phone and says, I'm John, I am from the help desk, I'm out in the field, and I need this password, the person at the desk knows enough to know that the password manager fills that password in for them, but they may not necessarily know how to access that password, and even if they did, they might not be able to change it based on permissions they are even given. So your first employee that somebody calls may not have access to even look at the passwords. All they'll be able to do is fill them in. And that could save time on various things like that. And they work with other tools that companies trust as well. Now, they allow you to have a security key or a secret key to as well as your password. And so they're like LastPass, which we'll talk about in a little bit, where they can't see passwords by default. Although I will say what happened with LastPass could happen to any of these providers if the right type of actions occur, like what happened with LastPass. I.e., a developer who has everything set up right just authorizes something because they get bombarded with it, and then the whole game's over. They have been verified by experts, and they do participate in one of the largest bug bounty programs out there. So that's a little bit about 1Password. Now, I don't have 1Password. I don't remember exactly when they started, but I know that they've been around for a number of years. And if 1Password itself is a hacker website, then we've got huge problems, because I know a lot of people who participate on AppleFis use 1Password. I don't know them all by name, but I know there have been questions and things about it, so that tells me that there are people who are utilizing the software and it meets their needs. So, there is a lot more information that is available on their website, and I urge people who are interested in this product to go on over and click on these buttons and links to learn more about what interests you about this particular piece of software or any other piece of software we're talking about today. Now, without any further ado, let's go ahead and move on to our next manager, which is one that I use. And even though they've had some issues through the years, I'm actually happy with the way they've been handling things, although when it came to their breach, they were not so forthcoming as they had been about other issues they've had through the years. But which company is going to be 100% perfect? There isn't such a thing. But our next password manager is LastPass. And that is coming right up.
Want to know about the latest and greatest in technology? Learn about Braille music or the happenings in the life of an average blind guy? You can do all this and much more by visiting the Jared Reimer Network at jaredreimer.net. That's JaredReimer.net. On there, you will find many things such as the technology blog and podcast, Menvi, White Cane Travel, the Magnitude Server, his personal blog, and much, much more. New things are added all the time, and it's 100% accessible. That site, once again, is jaredreimer.net.
This is Jared Reimer. Come check out my website, where everything is listed in one place. Our next password manager is LastPass. Now, a lot of people are going to say, well, why are you still using it? They can't even keep their crap straight. Well, as I said, nobody is 100% perfect. And yes, the what I would call breach of the century did happen with LastPass, and it turned out that it was because a LastPass developer was getting pinged to authenticate, and he wasn't doing it, so he kept denying it, and he got so tired of it that he accepted it. And the actors apparently were looking for high target value people. People who were especially into crypto. So they were looking for people with crypto, people who were high value, and they were looking for crypto information. But LastPass also made some other mistakes. As talked about on this very podcast, we talked about the term iteration. In the computer terms, it basically is a term used to have something do something a number of times. So, like LastPass, KeePass relies on one particular password. And LastPass made some changes in the way that they want people to use their software. But they forgot to make the change across the board. So while the passwords were quote-unquote encrypted, they only had one round of iteration if you were an early adopter. Now, I don't remember what I ended up setting mine as. I remember changing it because it was made such a big deal that experts were saying, change this iteration in your LastPass account. And LastPass, of course, logged us out and wanted us to log back in and signed all of the browsers and all of the particular applications out of the account. That way, it could redo the iterations appropriately. Now, this particular breach, as we've talked about on various Security Box programs, were not done very well. They were trying to keep it hush-hush, and I completely understand it. But if you've got a breach, as I've said numerous times, we need to know as much information as we can. And I was doing a little bit of research into our next password manager, which isn't too well known, but I have heard of it and I've seen questions about it pop up on AppleVis at least a few times. So, I'll mention it. But we'll talk about that one in a little bit. Now, LastPass, as I've talked about, allows me to have lots of things in the manager. And this is where a little bit of a demo might be in handy. But I'm not going to show you the passwords, and I'm not going to show you how to use the app. It's to show you a few different tabs of what LastPass has to offer. So for security's sake, I am on airplane mode. And so LastPass has the ability to work in airplane mode that's completely offline.
Passwords, 103, button, heading.
So,
all items, button, passwords, button, secure notes, button.
I have all items, passwords, secure notes.
Secure notes, button, passwords, 103, button.
It says passwords, 103.
Button, 98.6 to mix.
And the first one is the mix. Now that's the username. That's okay to be public. You got to figure out the rest. Now, let's see what type of actions I can have. I can copy the password.
Drag. Activate drag.
I can drag it.
And
I can activate it.
Copy password. Activate default.
So if I go ahead and activate it.
98.6 to mix. Launch button.
I can launch.
Copy username button.
I can copy the username.
Copy password button.
The password.
View button.
I can view it.
Edit button.
I can edit it.
Show password button.
I can show its password.
Share.
I can share it.
Delete button. Delete.
And delete it.
Image. An icon. Image. An icon. 98.6 to mix. Launch button. Delete. Image. An icon. Image. An icon. Image. Image. An icon with an illustration of a blue.
Alright, so.
Image. An icon with an illustration. Last pass. Active. Left. Launch button. Copy username.
I'll just copy its username for now to get out of that. But as you saw, I have secure notes.
Passwords, button. Secure notes, button. Secure notes. Contact info, button.
So, let's look at that.
New button.
And by the way, There is a new item, so I can always create a new one.
Eye doctor information, August 2021, button. Actions available.
So let's look at the eye doctor information for August of 01.
Image, view, edit, button, view, button.
I can view the note.
Back button. Secure note. This is information for what the eye doctor report has for the visit in August 2021. Highlight each year for info. It is a scanned PDF. Actions available. Account detail underscore attachments. Image. A gray logo attachments. Tap to download. Reimer underscore Jared underscore audio underscore zero.
And this is actually something that I didn't know I could do that we're learning for the first time. I can actually download this and send it elsewhere, which is what I was trying to say in an earlier segment where it's there when you need it, and you can download it, possibly. I wasn't completely sure, but now we know that I can.
Tab bar, selected, security, tab, two, settings, tab, 3 of 3, account detail underscore edit, button, back button.
Now, let's get out of there.
Ding, button, eye doctor, target, secure notes, 50, target, button. Eye doctor, target, button.
What's this target thing?
View button. Back button. The password is 9,220,000.
Okay, this is a password. I just put it in a note. And All you guys know is that it's 9 million to something. Because I wanted to shut it up because I didn't know what it was. But this is how easy it is to look this up.
Back button. 98.980's Apple ID and password button.
I have my Apple ID and password.
IFTT backup code button.
There's a service called IFTT. I have its backup code.
Learning Alley button.
Learning Alley information, otherwise known as RFBND.
Lori's Fillmore password button.
Now this password, I could probably delete.
Menvi panel password,
I have Menvi stuff in there.
Sans password, but.
Sans Institute. But I have all these in notes because I don't necessarily need them at the moment. But when I need them, I know I can find them.
Social Security website.
I have Social Security stuff in there.
Starbucks case number.
I have a case number for one of my Starbucks complaints. So it can store any of these types of things for you.
Stripe two-factor disability.
Stripe two-factor?
TV info button.
My tuberculosis info, it's out of date, but let's just see there.
View button.
I believe... this one.
No type. I took a TB test on December 14th, 2015. On December 16th, I got the results and it is negative. Faxes were sent to Virginia and Dr. Kurtz as well. On December 17th, Valley Press confirmed the receipt of the results and on the 18th, I confirmed with the doctor's office in regards to the receipt of the results.
Okay, so this was a note well back in 2015 in regards to Valley Press where I volunteered at. And, of course, Dr. Kurtz is my doctor. That's fine. People can know that. They could. It's a public, you know, doctor's office. And I notated when, so that if something were to happen and they said we didn't get it, I could pull up the note and I could say this is what I wrote based on what you told me. So this is kind of a nice feature. But I also have other stuff in here too.
Contact info button. Payment cards. Contact info button. Payment cards button. Payment cards.
I have payment cards.
Text field. Jared's profile. Ending in 2590.
So there's a profile for me that includes my credit card.
Michael B's card.
And I have another card that I could access, although it's well out of date, but it's just to show you, although I could always delete it now, what info's there.
Payment cards, button. Bank accounts, button. Wi-Fi passwords, button.
I do have
bank accounts.
My bank account here.
Wi-Fi passwords, button. Wi-Fi passwords.
My Wi-Fi password. Is there? Although I see two items, so I'm not exactly sure
Wi-Fi
what they are at the moment.
None. One. Button. Wi-Fi. Bank account. Payment card. Contact info. Secure notes. Passwords. Button. All items. Button. Clear search. Button. Search vault. Search vault.
And I can search for stuff too. Now I'm not going to go through all of LastPass's app because that's not what this is for. It's to show you a few of the various things that could be stored that are there. Now, LastPass is $36 a year or $3 a month, and they charge yearly pricing. And I think that they have worked quite a lot on accessibility, and I know that we have always talked about accessibility being on the forefront. They did post a blog post about how they were beefing up accessibility for all types of disabilities. Now, the thing I don't like is their website. I can't seem to do much of anything with it. I tried to create a new note, and it was awful getting that eye doctor thing put in place. Putting the PDF in there, because I wanted to store it securely. So, it wasn't an ear doctor, I forget now. But anyway, the long and the short of it is, it can all be stored. And for the most part, LastPass has been pretty good. And for the most part, LastPass has basically had our interests in mind. And I can tell you, when I lost my phone, because it pretty much died, and I got this 11 that I'm using now, they were able to log me out of, make it so that the app didn't ask for two-factor, because it was saying it didn't know who I was, even though I was authenticating. It said, you know, something to the fact that the pairing didn't match. Well, it didn't match because the other phone is sitting dead in a drawer. So I had no other options. And they asked specific questions. And since I still had access to my vault, I was able to answer them. And that proved to them who I was, so I could reset things up. But they also have an authenticator app. And we have always talked about two-factor authentication. And it's gotten better through the years. And I'm not going to demo that, because those are for specific accounts, and it does include usernames, so it's not safe for me to demo it, but it is pretty accessible and easy to use, and you can even add a new site by taking an image of the screen, and it will know what it's looking for. So once it does that, then it moves on to the next screen. So you can just point your phone at the screen, and it knows what it's looking for. And so that's all well and good too. I'm not saying that 1Password has an authenticator app, because I don't know. But I'm saying that was another reason why I'm sticking with LastPass, even through all of their stuff. Because, like, you know what? Any company can be immune to this. And where are we going to go? And I'll talk about something that I was looking at with another password manager coming up. And that password manager is called KeePass, which I've never used, but I've heard of. And again, I've seen questions of, but I'm actually impressed with this, although I do have more questions than answers. But I think it's worth talking about. It's part of the discussion of what's out there. And again, there are other password managers which include Dashlane, but I'm not trying to link to every manager. And there may be managers that I don't know about that have come out that have hit the market that people are using for one reason or another. I'll just say that Every time I've emailed LastPass for help, I've gotten that help. I don't believe they have a free option anymore. But $36 a year is not necessarily bad. And that's practically like $3 a month. So it's about the same as 1Password at $2.99 a month. They'll probably call it 35 something, but I can't complain. And it's just worked, and I've hardly had to use the support. I think I emailed them once and I didn't get anywhere, but you know, that's with a lot of companies, so I can't blame them per se. You can access your vault through the website, and I did try to add a new note, and I had trouble with it, and I don't know if it's because it doesn't work with Firefox or what. That's the browser I use. But I have been able to set things up and do, and of course the app has settings and other things you can change too, so it's all good, I think. Did you know that social media is one of the biggest targets out on the internet? Yes, it is. And the Security Box wants to let you know about what is going on with this. How much does social media cost? Well, for you and I, it's nothing. But think about this in a different way. What if you were able to buy an account? That's right, buy an account. Here are the 9 items from a recent Kim Komando article that might be of interest to you. A LinkedIn account, $45. Facebook, $14. Instagram, $12. Discord, $12. Snapchat, $11. X or Twitter, $10. Pinterest, $9. TikTok, $8. And Reddit, $6. Yes, the majority of your accounts cost as much as a sandwich at your local sandwich joint, or even a burger meal at your local burger place. LinkedIn, which is the most expensive and could be considered a high-end meal cost, is the highest price because of the most damage you can do. For all of the details, search social media at jaredtech.help, and you will come across an article that talks about this and things you can do to make sure you are as protected as possible. This is something that we all need to be aware of, because all of us have at least one account on any of these social media sites. For example, I do have a LinkedIn account. I do have a Facebook account. And I have a Twitter account, also known as X. I do not have any of the others, and to be honest, I would rather not bother. But, as I say, you better take your name where you can before an actor does. For the Security Box, I'm Jared Reimer.
Let's face it, folks. You go to search for something on the internet just to find the results scattered all over the place and not always relevant to what you were actually looking for. Wouldn't it be nice to have some things all in one location? If you are a professional or teacher working with the blind and are looking for information on orientation and mobility, then we've got the site that promises just that. www.whitecanetravel.com. Just as it's spelled, no hyphens. On this website, you will find information about canes, cane travel, cane technique, sighted guide, and street crossings. That website, once again, is www.whitecanetravel.com. Whitecanetravel.com, your one-stop shop for all things mobility.
KeyPass is very interesting and one that I had heard of but never investigated until now. This is one of those password managers that seems quite good at what they do, although I'm not completely sure how they're doing it. They claim that they are not like LastPass and Dashlane, who I've heard of but never investigated, where you have all of your stuff in a vault that is accessible by multiple devices through a service. But they do have an application and it is completely free, and it works with Windows, Mac, Linux, BSD, iOS, and Android. And it claims to be multi-platform, and you can have a portable copy with you. Let's say you're at a friend's house and you need your stuff, you can access that. Now, you do have a master password like you do with LastPass and you do with any of these others. And it looks pretty nice. I can't really say a whole lot about it. Because I've never used the thing. But let's talk a little bit about what they offer. Remember, just a single password. They claim that it's undoubtedly the most popular password manager, but who's going to say who's popular? And the thing that I like that it's available to anybody to look at. It is a straightforward password manager that's completely free. It's an individual database, and the file is encrypted. So nobody can access it without your password, which means that it's decentralized and you don't have to rely on a single server. So that is kind of cool. And you can use the .key file to better bolster it. So, there are two different security versions. AES 256 BitKey or something they're calling two-fish encryption security, 256-bit. Now, I don't know what two-fish is. AES has been around for many, many years. And 256, I think, is good enough. So, we know that security flaws are in the operating system, but then again, it could be user error. So, it's a must for strengthening security. It has received accolades by various industries through the years. You can manage your passwords on your mobile phone with their app. And that is through the KeePass application on your smartphone. Now, this is where I don't know how this works because I've never used it. But I would assume that it would work similarly to LastPass and 1Password where it would synchronize across the devices, although those two use a centralized place to do all of that, where it seems like KeePass will not do that. And you can be synchronized via a website from BlackBerry, Pocket PC, Windows 7 phone, or Android device. So it sounds like some sort of FTP is involved, although they mentioned BlackBerry, and I did hear a question, which was back in October by somebody, whether they're still around, and that's not necessarily for this podcast. So I don't know if BlackBerry's still around, and from what I remember, it isn't, so this might be out of date now. But we know that synchronizing with the cloud could come with interesting results, although I think the bulk of the problems, as I've stated, are not necessarily with the applications themselves. It's, you know, human error. You know, somebody allowing a two-factor when they shouldn't, although there was a term used when they just get bombarded with pop-ups and they keep denying them. And so there is a term out there for that, and I don't remember what that is, but I think I heard that from Security Now. But I think the cloud services could provide you a peace of mind if you're really not sure how something like KeePass will work for you. It seems to me that if you don't remember your password, you might be screwed because there's nobody to help you because it's not synchronized on their server. They can't, you know, they don't have any way of accessing anything. At least, as I told my story with LastPass, they were at least able to help me by verifying, all right, how many passwords do you have? They don't probably see everything, but they could, you know, look at an account and go, oh, he's got 103 passwords. You know. So that's actually probably a good thing. They do allow you to autofill. I didn't mention that LastPass can do that in the LastPass segment, but I might as well mention it here because KeePass, although it is more localized and not cloud-based, it can do that too. And they've got two different versions, and they're trying to get people to move to version 2. It's either going to be something called KBD or KBDX, depending on the version. Usernames, passwords, addresses, and any attachments. So, one of the things that KeePass does that other password managers don't is the storage of passwords. We know that's important, although LastPass for iOS does things a little bit differently. Once you close the password manager, if you copy a password, that password is erased. But here they're saying they keep your password on the clipboard for 12 seconds and then they erase it. Which sounds pretty good to me. If you can't copy and paste in that short amount of time, well, maybe this could be a configurable setting. I don't know, but that seems to me to be very sensible. Like I said, they've got a portable version. That's always good. And it can be downloaded in various languages, including Estonian, Croatian, or Galician. But there are 50 different languages and dialects, so you could choose the language that you speak. We all know what keyloggers are, and they recommend that you search for a keylogger before doing anything else. So, this is good. They've got software they're talking about in regards to trying to protect your passwords. They've also got plugins and some unofficial stuff that they talk about on their website as well. But this seems like more of a portable solution, and of course, Michael was along when he talked about 1Password Manager, which was under the Trust No One providership, and of course, that he didn't like because, you know, he should be able to reset his password. Well, if they don't have access to really who you are except to authenticate you by authenticating you with a password, then they're doing their job because trust no one means you really don't have any information on them. And like I said, there are numerous password managers out there. I'm not going to cover every single one because there's no need. It seems to me like this KeePass is only meant for password management. And there is something that I didn't mention about all of these password managers that would be of interest, and so I'm going to do it now. The password manager, at least these three, should not fill in a password of a lookalike website. We know that the password managers capture the URL of the site that the password was created on or that you logged in at, as well as the domain. So if the URL changes and it sees the domain, it'll allow you to fill in that password. Now, be that as it may, let's say you logged into jaredtech.help, otherwise known as technology.jaredreimer.net. Well, after you do that, the computer will ask you to remember it, or your password manager. And if you say yes to the password manager, or even the computer for that matter, you will only be able to log in there. And if somebody were to take my blog and put it on jaredexample.whoknows.where and they try to get you to log in, for one, since you don't know your password, when you go to tell your browser to go log you in, it's going to say other, and it's going to say, you know, add site, etc., because there's not going to be an entry for that domain. So that's kind of cool. I was able to verify that by going to, let's say, jaredreimer.info. And since there isn't anything on jaredreimer.info, I have nothing to log into. And so, you know, being phishing resistant to where it might look like the technology blog and podcast at technology.jaredreimer.net, if you're actually not there, then it won't let you. And I know this by experience because I was logging into a WordPress site and I help administer a domain, but I wasn't on the right one and it was in a different language and it wouldn't let me log in. And even if I copied the password, which I did, it failed anyway. So, you know, these managers can, in theory, do that. Now, I know that they, managers, copy all of the links that you have logins for, so it knows. And if it changes slightly and it can sense that it's on the right page, it'll allow you to fill that in. I know Capital One has done that, and it knows it's on Capital One's page as an example, and it sees the login forms. So all of these managers will do that. So I'm not too familiar with KeePass on whether you can add anything else like secure notes and of varying things like I demoed with LastPass, and it seems like 1Password can do that. But this is where your due diligence in looking into these things, and don't be afraid to ask these companies questions. I'm not making any recommendations, and there are going to be password managers that I haven't listed here, not because of time constraint, but because I've not used them and I don't know much about them. And yes, I did know about KeePass, and I went ahead and did the research for it to talk about it here because it is a little bit different than both 1Password and LastPass. We will continue with more of the podcast. This is Jared Reimer. Hello, everybody. It seems as though Experian hasn't learned their lesson. According to a recent article posted to the tech blog, the service still hasn't learned their lesson. We've talked numerous times about keeping your accounts as safe as possible. And yes, Experian even has an option for you to be able to do that. But what good is it when you have someone that is probably malicious in mind that can sign up and by clicking a button on a website, even though you may get a verification by telephone through the short messaging service platform, they can just continue, enter your information, if not their own, and have a dashboard of all of your stuff, or even create an account in their name with your email address. Does anyone see anything wrong with this picture, go to jaredtech.help and you can find articles by going to the search box and typing in Experian, and you'll find plenty of articles, and some of them might cross into other coverage, including but not limited to Equifax and TransUnion. For the Security Box, I'm Jared Reimer. Welcome back to the program, everybody. I'm Jared Reimer, and this is going to complete the program. Yes, I spotted a note about one particular password manager that I probably should cover, but I don't know a whole lot about it, although they are Twit's new sponsor, although they've been a sponsor for a while, and that would be Bitwarden. But as I said in the entire segment, there is a lot more out there, including ones either I've forgotten or that might be new in this space. Because of that, I think it's safe for me to end the podcast at this point to talk about three big ones, let you decide if you want those or choose another one. But don't stop there. If you are using one that is not listed and you want to give a review for a future podcast, whether it will be on this podcast or moved to the technology podcast, then please get in touch with me. I want to hear what you have to say. And if you submit audio, please use a file sharing service such as Dropbox, SendSpace, or you send it to get the file to me, especially if the file is larger than 20 megs. You can have the service send an email to either of my addresses, tech@menv.org, that's T-E-C-H, at mikeechonovembervictiaindia.org, or jaredreimer@986themix.com, that's Juliet Alpha Romeo Echo Delta, Romeo India Mike Echo Romeo, at 986themix.com. I hope that each and every one of you has a safe and happy Thanksgiving holiday. And the folks that will be playing our podcast include Blue Streak Radio on Fridays and International Friends on Mondays. And we will return to a live format next week. I hope that you have enjoyed the program as much as I have bringing it to you. And I also hope that you've enjoyed a little bit of what I'm calling Things to Ponder, which I'm bringing back in a different type of way. Not necessarily as part of the physical podcast taping itself, but more as something that you can think about. We'll give you a term to search for it, and it may or may not be in our show notes, but it will not be part of our Braille copy of our show notes that we use to help us with the show itself. I will see everybody next time.